Off the love train, welcoming you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the streams, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That will click you through the 1150 KKNW website. Click on listen upper left and then listen online, and you will be all set up to stream the show. And we're doing teaching you all about dog behavior and how to solve problems. My guest is Walter Stoffel. He is the author of Lance, a Spirit Unbroken, phenomenal book about Lance and how this guy's still alive. Meaning Walter. I don't know. You'll have to read the book to find out. And you can get the book, get an autographed copy. It's also available in the audio version at Walter's website. That's walterstoffel.com. And Stoffel is S-T-O-F-F-E-L, Walter Stoffel, author.com. All right, you guys, we got the rest of this hour to go to cram in as much stuff as we can. I'm just going to give you a heads up, Nathan, and tell everybody else, we're not going to do current events today. And that's because there's nothing new on the list since last week. So, and it's on all the current event stuff. Now, there's Bark in the Parks coming up, but they're not till next month and on. Anyway, so there's nothing new to add. You can go to MarthaNorwalk.com, the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. And on the left side, click on current events, and then everything will come up and you can get it there. But I'm not going to take the time to go through it because there's nothing new. All right, so we got All this time to go. All right. So now I found out over the break, this is kind of what happens in a private session. You know, when I'm getting into the specifics here in the teaching, somebody will mention something that's sort of related. So we'll do a little deviate off on a tangent, you know, to explain that. Well, you know, I get distracted and go off on all kinds of things. So that happens all the time. That happened here because we were finishing up on the off sequence and then getting the excited off taken care of, adding a sit for greeting ritual. And we were just about done. But then Nathan said, well, I got a question sort of related to greeting. So Nathan,
sure, let's ask that question again. So when she's getting, knowing that somebody's around to pet her and she wants somebody to pet her, she'll be...
This is Abby, your boy.
Yeah. She'll be sitting down and, or maybe kind of near you and be kind of wiggling her tail and shaking her head, but she's not really jumping. But what she's doing is, we call it like the smile, and she's gritting her teeth like she's baring her teeth, but she's not.
And she pulls the front teeth aggressive. Up.
Yeah, it's
and
almost
shows her teeth.
Like when the cameraman says, "Everybody say cheese," and everybody opens up their lips and shows their teeth. It's that kind of similar look.
Yeah, and so Nathan wondered what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, it's called a submissive grin. Submissive grin. So Nathan's interpretation that kind of looks, we thought we call it a smile. Well, that's what it is. Now, it indicates, though, it is misinterpreted by humans, because what the dog does with their mouth and the shape of their mouth, sometimes their faces and what they do with their ears or in their bodies, their tails, all of that body language means something to dogs. It doesn't necessarily mean the same thing to us humans. And you see them lift their front lips and you see all their teeth, and some dogs are talkers and will be talking, and some talking involves a little growling that isn't aggressive, you know, and oh look at it. And so they're grumbling, and so many people misinterpret that as aggressive. Okay, but it is not. It is a submissive grin, and what it means is that I submit to you. You're higher in the pecking order than me. I'm not pushing it, you know, I give. But I love you, I love you, I love you, and I love you so much. And you'll see them, they probably do it more with humans, but they will sometimes do it with dogs. And you, Nathan, you've seen Abby do this with dogs from time to time at the park, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially when, a dog is approaching her, she might, sit down or something like that and make her grin. But you're right, it's like, you know, she's like, okay, come over and grip me, I submit to you.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody understands submissive grinning now? All right.
It's not now, aggression.
Not aggression.
That's why we always remind
a
people.
A snarl is something different. Often involves a lift, you know, lifted lip, and so forth. But it's all in the position of the, you know, lips and skin and stuff. So.
And we always remind people, because not many people, it seems like, are familiar with that. We always have people with other dog owners, and we'll be finished with this so we can move on. But they'll be asking us, like, or be giving that nervous look like she's growling or you know,
right,
getting baring her teeth, showing aggression. It's like, no, she's not doing that. She's just smiling at you. That's all we say. Yeah. And,
so see, this is what's going to, this is what happens in sessions. So this was like, you know, somebody brings that and then we cover that base. Now that reminded me, we're not ready. As long as we're covering greetings, let's cover this. Cause I don't know. Did we talk about body language and greeting dogs? If we didn't talk about that before, you need to know that how you approach a dog you don't know and how you greet dogs you don't know. Physical body language is critically important. Body language is real important to dogs, and it's the first thing they key off of when you meet a dog or they meet another dog or they meet a human. And it's uneducated dog lovers that cause all the trouble for dogs. So when we're just a dog lover and we don't know better, you see a dog, it's cute, or you want to meet it, you make direct eye contact and you walk straight towards them, and then you bend out or touch or pet them. The little dog in somebody's arms, we run right up to them and want to reach out to touch the dog. Well, you need to know body language, real important. to the dog, and direct eye contact with a frontal approach in dog language is a prelude to attack. And then reaching out or bending over is very similar to the first step of dog-to-dog dominance. Many dogs misinterpret that, and they will either do what is called submissive urination. And when the person goes to greet them in that dominant body language, they squat and pee, which is involuntary, by the way. They can't control it. You do not discipline submissive urination. You condition it out. We'll get to that. But the biggest thing you change is your body language in greeting the dog. Just know that on general principles, especially with dogs you don't know, you don't want to make direct eye contact and look at them and approach in that way. So if I've got a dog facing me and I don't know that dog and I wanted to walk up and greet it, I would walk up and turn sideways and kind of come in sideways and backwards to the dog. So we end up kind of facing the same direction. And then you crouch down, you can bend away from the dog, keep your face sideways to the dog. And then if you're going to, my rule is always don't touch the dog until they touch you first. So if you come at them sideways, and then if you crouch and bend away, then all that body language says, hey, just want to be friends, no conflict here. And they'll usually swing right around and come start checking you out. And in the sniffing process, they touch you. So my rule is I don't touch them till they touch me first. As soon as they touch, then I'll do a palm up underneath the chin and chest as opposed to basketball style over the top of the head. Not good. Underneath chin and chest. Okay, first greeting. So that's a passive way to greet dogs, and you won't cause a fear of strangers because they think they're being threatened, or a submissive urination. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Now, along those same lines, before I go into the next thing, I'm going to go backtrack to leave it, because we did the leave it sequence, but that was, you know, and the leave it and the quiet were the last things we did on the previous show to this one. And I don't think that I talked about this. Now, I did when I laid out the leave it for you. Leave it is generally, especially when you're teaching, it's, you know, with young dogs and puppies and you're raising them, and it's teaching them what they can mess with and what they don't. I'm sure I probably told you it's real important that you not squelch all investigation. If you are overzealous with your leave it correction and they look at something and you're right on it with no leave it, you will actually make them think these things are more important, and you can turn your dog into a stealer. Okay. So when you have a young dog and you're supervising, you watch them and you're ready with your training tool if you need it, but you watch them and say they go up to the shelf and they're sniffing stuff on the shelf and they're sniffing, and you just watch. If they turn and walk away, you can say good, leave it, okay, or nothing. But you know, so it's nice to label good behavior. But as they're sniffing, if the mouth opens and they start to like, okay, I'm going to take this book or I'm going to grab this, then you start the leave it sequence. Okay, so you don't make them, you know, stop. You don't squelch investigation. You allow them to investigate. And only if they're going to mess with something they shouldn't, then you begin the leave it sequence. That way you won't inadvertently make them think that they should work harder to get at this stuff. Does that make sense? All right. Now, basically the leave it is intended, especially with a puppy or young dog, for when they're on their way to do something or they're about to take it, is when that sequence happens. Now, often though, especially with young puppies and young teenagers, we're not doing a good job of always supervising when they're out of their confinement. And you might turn your back for a minute, turn around, here comes the puppy running or the dog running in, wiggling with the remote control in their mouth. Oh boy, look at me, I got the remote control. All right. Now, it's that point where most owners flip their cookies and start yelling at the dog. And it doesn't take dogs very long at all to figure out when they get something they shouldn't and the people start yelling at them, run away. Because what happens? The family chases you. Okay. And how many dogs do you know that get into the dirty underwear and the socks and all that kind of stuff? And they grab things and they've learned that when they get something they shouldn't, what a great attraction it is. So they come down and say, oh, look, I got, and then mom, dad, he's got my undies. Get the dog. Oh, he's got my glasses. Mom, dad. And we're all hysterical running around chasing the dog. Well, one of the great biggest goals in a dog's life, especially a young one, is to get the pack to chase them. Because guess what? Leaders don't chase. So every time a dog steals something, it's, oh, I got the undies. And we get hysterical and chase them around. We're telling our dog they're the leader of the pack. All right. So now, obviously, you don't want to do that. So you want to do a better job of confinement, supervision, and scheduling, you know, and all the raising the dog stuff. But if your dog comes running in, you know, you got a young dog and running, they got something in their mouth they shouldn't have. Now, if out of automatic pilot, you just automatically did a no, leave it, and the dog spit it out, well, that's okay. And you'd praise them. Good, leave it. Good, leave it. That's okay. Good, leave it. You wouldn't correct them for taking it in the first place. But I say avoid that altogether, because we want to teach our dogs and condition them that they don't play run and chase games, and that there's no reason to guard and protect this stuff. I want to always feel comfortable being able to take something away from my dog. So I call this Martha's sneak in the back door approach. And I use a sneak in the back door approach in a number of things, and that'll shake out as we get through these shows. All right. So that means here comes the dog with the remote control in its mouth saying, oh, God, look at me. I got the remote control. Instead of doing leave it or getting upset with them, I just get silly, goofy, and happy and say, oh, boy, what do you got? Show mom you've got the remote control. Oh, boy, show me what you got. And you go into that happy, goofy talk. Oh, boy. Then they start wiggling and they come over and say, yeah, tell me how great I am. I have the remote control. And you say, oh, boy, isn't that fun? You've got the remote. And you get them up close to them and you get your hands on them and you're kind of touching and petting. Don't even think about going after the remote yet. So you get up, oh boy, you got the remote, and you're touching and petting them, and then you maneuver yourself around so you and the dog are facing the same way, same direction. And then as you're talking happy, okay, now see, most people, when the dog takes the remote, they're no, leave it, give it back, don't break that, you hit, okay. And when you go into that controlling, and especially have the hysterical edge to the dog, it's like, oh my God, this is really valuable. Mom's flipping her cookies. Whoa, I better work hard to keep this. And that's what puts them in the fight, defensive, defend, and keep it mode. So that's why the light, happy tone. Woohoo, boy, look what you got. You got the remote control. Woohoo, you get up, get your hands on the body. Yeah, you love them up a bit. And then get your hands up around the head. And what you're doing is you want to get one hand over the top of the muzzle. Okay. And you fingers on one side of the muzzle, thumb on the other, and you roll the lips in. Okay. Now, when you roll the lips in, and you're talking happy. And at this point, I'd be saying, give, give. And as you roll those lips in, they won't bite down on their own lips. So the mouth starts to open. So once you roll those lips, you just say, give, give, and you take the remote out of their mouth. Now, don't you even dare think about yelling your dog for taking the remote at this point. What you do now is praise them. Good give, good, good give. That's a good give. All right. So now that part is, so now you're laying the groundwork. So at least if the dog steals something he shouldn't, he doesn't do the chase me, catch me if you can. He doesn't go into the aggressive guard stuff. You're able to easily retrieve things from your dog. But now, okay, now I got the remote back. If I have lots of time now, because the remote isn't out, you're not supposed to mess with this. So if I have the time, I can now just put, you know, make sure I have my training tools. I'm ready to go. And I can put that remote back down, put it on the floor. So, you know, put the underwear out, whatever it is, and then practice leave it. Dog goes for it. No, leave it. Cha-ching. Good leave it. That's a good leave it. OK, Okay. If you don't have time, you just put the remote away, put the dog away, you go off and do what you're doing. Then you can come back later and practice leave it setups with the remote or the underwear or whatever it is. Now, does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So now I think we cleaned up. We did the leave it stuff. We've done the quiet. We've done the off and the basic greetings. So now we're going to go into specific exercises, but we got to stay on time and we're already over time. So we're going to take care of advertisers. Then we'll come back and we will continue with the next exercise. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Conversation you won't find on the rest of the dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Alrighty. Hey, everybody. I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for hanging with us here on Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful NuPro supplements, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets, and you can check them all out on their website, NuProSupplements.com. We heard from Natasha Venter, our wonderful medium, animal communicator, and personal awareness coach. She's got some custom classes that she'll schedule for you if you want to give her a call. She does private readings over the phone, and she also, you'll find her entertaining on podcasts and, you know, on the, let's see, Mondays and Wednesdays, 4 o'clock. And you can find her live broadcasts at 4 o'clock on Mondays and Wednesdays on YouTube or Facebook. And it's Natasha Venter, angelicclarifications.com. And of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on. We'd love you to join our Animal World family of advertisers. We've got great rates. You get links on website, interviews on the show. So just let me know. You can shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or give me a call after the show, 360-217-7258. Now, alrighty, with Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, we're cruising through the teaching stuff. And now what we're going to do now is start getting, I'm going to start teaching you the general type exercises that I teach clients. Now, not everybody gets all of this stuff. It depends on the situation, but you're going to get all of it and with deviations and explanations. Now, the first place I'm going to go is that we just covered all the bases on the four-step correctional sequence, which with jumping up, we can add a fifth step as necessary and that sort of thing. But there's another way of disciplining, an alternative way, which is a behavior modification way. Now, and it can be used alternatively with a lot of things. And sometimes is just the best choice for some dogs or some situations. Now, you probably all heard the term timeout. Okay, well, works with dogs, just like it does with kids, only I structure it very specifically. So now the first deviation here I'm going to tell you is that I'm going to tell you where this timeout exercise came from. So remember, I started working private with the people in the 80s, and I'm designing this one-time deal, give you everything you need. At the same time, I was teaching, doing seminars and workshops and incorporating all of that. And anyway, so it was an evolving process. Well, where timeout came from, this probably happened maybe in the late 80s, early 90s. But I often, and you'll hear as we go through all these stories, I get things in groups, the same problem, you know, might be same breeds, different breeds, but similar problem over and over until I kind of get it and work through that sort of thing. That reminds me, I've got to backtrack when I get done with this. Okay. At any rate, so timeout is another way of disciplining or extinguishing behavior. Where it came from, probably late 80s, early 90s, I got a bunch of little old ladies with little toy poodles. And the little toy poodles are biting all the little old lady friends. And I knew that these women were not going to do anything to change their relationship with these dogs or what they're doing with these little poodles. They just wanted them to stop biting their friends. That's where timeout came from. So what we set up is when you're going to do timeout, it's based on the principle of giving the dog what they don't like more than anything else, and that's separation from their human. So you need a timeout area to place your dog in. If your dog is crate trained and has a crate, then we use the crate. And when you put them in the crate, you need a sheet or a blanket to cover the whole thing. And no, it's not going to make your dog hate their crate. And if you're using the crate as we normally use a crate, not a problem. We send kids to their bedroom all the time for timeout. Doesn't mean they don't want to sleep in their bedroom or ever go there again. It's just not an issue. Don't make it up. Don't let it be one. All right. So timeout is the immediate consequence of unacceptable behavior. If we got a crate, we're going to use a crate. These ladies, most of these dogs were not crate trained. So in that case, you can use a bathroom or a closet even. You need a small room to place the dog in where there's nothing in there they can entertain themselves with, and that you can turn out the light. All right, so we used a bathroom in the case of these little poodles. So the way we set it up is have the little lady sit on the couch with her dog. Have the lady's friend come over and sit down next to her. When the dog goes for the friend, the owner just picks the dog up and says, "Oh, you tried to bite my friend. You're going into timeout." You take the dog to the bathroom, put him in the bathroom, close the door, turn out the light. Set the timer for 3 minutes. Now, they have to be quiet during the timeout. So if they start to fuss or to whine or a bark, or many will paw at the door. Now, you got to remember, negative attention can be just as rewarding as positive. It's it's always better than nothing. So if they fuss, whine, paw at the door, if you open that door to correct them, that's usually perceived as negative attention. And it's better than being in there alone. At least you're opening the door to correct them. So you don't open the door and you don't use your voice. You use a sound interruption from outside the room. Okay. So dog's in the bathroom, door is closed. Dog starts fussing or pawing at the door. Owner doesn't say anything. They just take their flat hand and bang the door once from outside. Bang. Well, that interrupts them and they'll stop. They may start up again, bang the door again. Each time you bang, the dog will quiet and calm for longer. Doesn't usually take more than 1 to 3 bangs and the dog settles and no more fussing. So once the dog's quiet for 3 minutes, then we can open the door, let the dog out. All is forgiven. But as you visualize it in your mind, you say to the dog, you went in, I put you in timeout because you tried to bite my friend. Then back to the couch we go, owner, dog, friend comes over. Dog goes after friend again. Whoop, into timeout. In the bathroom, close the door. 5 minutes this time. Same rules, got to be quiet. 5 minutes is up. You're let out. All is forgiven. But we go right back to the same thing. Sitting there, owner comes, or friend comes over. If dog makes a move for the friend, back into timeout. 10 minutes this time. Out, all is forgiven. Repeat, if dog goes again, 15 minutes, then 20 minutes. Now, you never do more than a 20-minute timeout, but you always start at the bottom at 3 minutes. Unless you're dealing with a really young puppy. If you're dealing with young puppy, then you can do timeout, works, but you start with 30 seconds. Then a minute, you know, and then like 3 minutes and then 5 minutes. And you start at 30 seconds and then sequence up for there. Now, the reason timeout works so well is because it gives them what they don't like more than anything else, separation from their human. And with the short sequences, it gives them the opportunity to figure out why they're going into timeout in the first place. Oh, I get it. I try to bite my mom's friends. I go to timeout. I guess I better keep my big trap shut and leave them alone. Well, let me tell you, it worked like a charm in all those cases. And I continue to use timeout in lots of different circumstances. And I give timeout to many clients. And it's interchangeable with using correctional teaching sequences. Sometimes we use timeout for chasing the cat. You know, dog chases the cat, boom, in timeout. Let him out, all's forgiven, bring the cat in again. Boom, into timeout. They figure out pretty quick, okay, I got to ignore the cat or stay calm around the cat because otherwise I, you know, get separated and I don't like that. So timeout is an alternative form of correcting behavior and extinguishing behavior that is interchangeable. All right. So it looks like, Nathan, maybe you have a question.
Yeah. So when you're bringing that dog to the crate, I mean, I assume you probably just like have some way to, you know, grab a hold of the dog, like leash or collar, and you're basically kind of forcing them into the crate. It's not like you're walking up to the crate. It's like, crate now.
Yeah, well, basically, it's not a real forceful thing. Get your butt in your crate right now. You're going into timeout. You know, no, you're not doing that. It's like, oh, you tried to bite my friend. You're going into timeout. Come on, get in your house, you know, and you would, you know, kind of, but you're not in an angry, you know, you can't, you're not supposed to be emotional when you're working with your animals. So you're acting if you need to put on that, I mean, business tone, but this is just a normal tone and putting them in. And if you need to physically, you know, shove them in, that's okay. Do you remember, Nathan, I'm sure I talked about it after this. Well, you know that I'm writing a new book for myself on Frenchies and French Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that when I did a session, it's been within the last 6 months, the worst Frenchie I ever saw that was absolutely aggressive with everybody but the wife and totally out of control, not a hint of impulse control related to anything. And, you know, barker and biter and, but the weird thing and really aggressive with the husband, really bonded with the wife. But the interesting thing was that this was totally learned and created behavior by the husband and wife, because this dog, if they took him out of the home, like and hired Rover, left him at a Rover house and went on vacation, dog was an angel. No aggression, no problems. Dog was a perfect little Frenchie. Come home, it's a disaster. So this dog was so bad when I got there and coming in, this dog was so over the top and was so frenzied, and they had done so many things on and off that I knew there was nothing I would normally do that could get through to this dog. Nothing. And I was like, I have no clue what I'm going to do. So I started with the education and all of this, and the dog was just being such an idiot. The wife had it anchored on a leash to her. And this is a big Frenchie. Well, and as I'm working, and then all of a sudden I got, you know, because I'm so guided, and in I come, and what do I see? What do I get? Time out, Martha. Time out. Time out. Well, the first time out with that dog, because I switched gears instantly and went to time out. The first one was a nightmare, Nathan. I mean, she had a drag, and the dog's not crate trained, no crate. And there was a one room that she wanted to use and put it. She had to drag this dog down. And the dog was so bad, she had to drag the dog into the room. And then she had a physical battle with the dog to keep him in the room to be able to get out and close the door. And it was a major wrestling match and a big deal. And by the time she got the dog in, the door closed, got it, she just wilted right on the floor because it was a hallway she came out in, and backed up against the other, you know, the other side of the wall. I mean, she was exhausted. Okay. But we let the dog timed out for, you know, he did his three, when we got his 3 minutes of quiet, out he came. He had a slightly different attitude. Did it again, back into timeout. It was a little easier to get him in that time. And we came through that and out. And I think we only had to do two timeouts. And that dog shaped up and shut up and behaved himself for the rest of the day. I mean, for the rest of the session. You know, we went ahead and put it pro. But I even had to bail on everything I normally do and do a timeout with this dog. I couldn't do it because I couldn't get that close to him, but the wife could do it. So timeout can be real helpful because it can be a very passive way to go. All right, we got, so are we good on timeout?
Yeah, that was interesting. Very interesting.
All right. Now, and it doesn't mean you use one or the other. You can use both or either. It depends on what, you know, what you're doing, what you have time for and all that stuff. All right. We're going to take care of advertisers real quick and come back and continue. We'll be talking friends next. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
An alternative to everything else on your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World. We're here until noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon. Be sure and check out Dr. Nils Rasmussen and his healing ministry for animals. He'll work with you in person or remotely or free on the radio. And he's got the do-it-yourself-at-home program. Just go to the website, healingministryforanimals.com. And then, of course, check out Whispering Dragon Center in Seattle. Our premier sound healer, Jude Ponton, is back working, and she'd be delighted to see you in person so you can experience the gongs and the acutonic forks and all of that in person, or she can work with you remotely. But go to Facebook and look for Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook and watch the videos of the gongs and the forks and all that. See how it works. And then give Jude a call and get scheduled. 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. All right. We are going to continue. Walter Stoffel is here. Nathan is here. We just finished up talking about timeout. And, you know, you had mentioned, should you just take the dog to the timeout and use a collar or whatever? Now, if by chance we're dealing with a dog that's a little volatile or owner aggressive and or plays the chase me if you catch me if you can or all of that, then sometimes you have to have them, Nathan, dragging a leash. Now, you don't leave leashes on if you're, you know, you leave the area, but you can just put a light leash on them on their regular collar and let them drag the leash around. And then that way, if they try to play, you know, catch me if you can more easily walk them down to step on the leash, or you can just, you know, if you need to, when it's time to take them to timeout, you just take the leash and take them to timeout. And that way you don't have to place your hands around their head or their neck and the collar if we have a snappy dog. Does that make sense? The leash, dragging the leash is a good thing to do with dogs, especially young ones. Real good for leadership and helps them remember who's in charge. But it can also make life really a lot easier for you if you do the drag the leash thing. Okay, we did all of that. Okay, so in the time we've got, one exercise that I raise all my dogs with now, and that a lot of my clients get, is the friends exercise. Okay, I like using the word friends as a cue word to my dog to alert them as to what the response is supposed to be. And friends is a nice word because it has an energy of friendship attached to it already. It's something you can be comfortable saying around people. But I, you know, would use this if I'm out, you know, walking or at the party, and here comes a person with a dog. Oh boy, it's friend. Friend's coming. When I live out in the country. And so when Robbie was a puppy, we walked all over the neighborhood, and Robbie met horse friends and cow friends and chicken friends and goat friends and rooster friends. And so he learned, I socialized him. He learned everybody's friends. Even the bunnies are friends. Robbie doesn't even chase the wild rabbits in his yard, because everything's a friend to him. So if you, teach the friends exercise and then use it, it's a great way to teach dogs that we're more social than they are. Now, so if your dog licks you, no, licking the hand or the face of a human is the friendliest, most submissive greeting they can show to you. So it just means just want to be friends, no conflict here. So if your dog licks your hand or your face, you can automatically praise them with good friends. Good. That's good friends. Now, You can turn it into a formal exercise, and especially if they aren't liquors. And you can put, anytime you cook something, you have some juice, some fat, or some grease left over, you can use a little bit of butter or coconut oil can work. Spreads on the back of your hand. Call your dog over and then show them your hand. And as they lick it off, say, friends, good friends, while they're licking your hand off. Good, good friends. If you're comfortable, put some on your cheek. Let your dog lick your cheek. Good, good friends. If you don't want to do the cheek, it's okay. You can do just a hand. But if you're comfortable doing both, do both. Now, it's a great exercise to practice because you're actually really rewarding submissive behavior towards you. And the idea is you gradually reduce what you put on your hand or your cheek to get to the point where the dog, you say, friends, dog knows to do a little lick. Now, the culmination is not that you see someone and say, oh, it's a friend, and the dog runs up and licks them. It just gives them the idea. And what friends is supposed to mean to them is it just means that they need to accept the present and be okay with the presence of whatever this is, because it's a friend. Now, I'll tell you where it came from, because this is a huge one. Major awakening for me in my career. Now, this was back in the 80s. This was when I was just, you know, doing all of this stuff right now. And that's when I had 17 dogs in my house and a big pack of dogs. Well, my personal dog was Chowie Golden, who was an unneutered adult male Golden. He was unneutered because he was my competition dog. So well-trained and all of that. But I lived in the Bridal Trails area and had all over an acre of property and backed up on Bridal Trails State Park. So I had my horse with me, and Chowie was the dog that would go horseback riding with me when I went out in the trails. And the Bridal Trails area, that's a 500-acre state park. And I started having some problems with him because, you know, you're on a horse riding. You can't have your dog leashed. They're loose. And at some point, and this the park is mostly forested, where I went out in the park, I'm on one side and it's all forest. Then you get to the middle of the park and there's a power line that goes through the middle of the park. So there's a cleared area. Maybe 100 feet or 100 yards of cleared area. Then on the other side is another forest. So two big forests with a cleared power line in the middle. What was started happening is that in the neighborhood, people started getting jealous of the Bridal Trails Park, and it shouldn't just be for horses. So joggers started using it. So I'd be, you know, riding down the trail with my horse, and a jogger'd pop out. Well, that'd scare Chowie, and he'd bark at him. Now, he wasn't aggressive, but, you know, that would scare the jogger. The other thing was Chowie was starting to get in dogfights. Because I wasn't the only one that went riding with my dog. And many of the riders had unneutered male dogs at this time. Remember, this is back in the 80s. And then there were a lot of people that had unneutered male dogs on their private properties, but they weren't secured. And so when you rode by their house, these unsupervised, unsecured dogs would run out into the trails and they'd, you know, there'd be a fight. So I had to figure out my Chowie was very well trained, you know, competition dog and all of that. But in all my leadership and all my power, I could not stop him from fighting with these dogs from on top of the horse and a distance away. I couldn't do, you know, and all the no leave it's and come here's and the world didn't work. So that's when I regrouped. What else could I do? Consulted with a colleague, other place in the country, and that's where I came up with this friend's business. I taught the exercise to Chowie. I went out, and of course, if a jogger would pop out, I'd say, friends, oh boy, friends, Chowie, oh, and, you know, then you just ignore him, and on we go. All right, so the first time we're out there, have a chance with the fight thing. Okay, I got Chowie. He's riding with me. We go through the forest. We get to the power line, getting ready to cross. And on the other side of the power line is this gal on this big white Arab that she rides. And she has a big husky Malamute, unneutered male dog that he and Chowie have gotten into fights before. So here we go. We start crossing the power lines. And sure enough, our dogs run up to each other and that nose to nose and start the power standoff. Well, normally me and the other rider would be yelling at our dogs, leave it, no. Okay. But this time I have a whole new plan. So instead of yelling, leave it, what I started doing was, oh boy, friends, Chowie, it's friends, 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 Chowie, friends. So I'm on the back of my horse in my happiest voice, friends, friends. Well, the other rider was so shocked that I wasn't yelling that she didn't say anything. Well, the most amazing thing happened. The dogs powered off together and I'm friends, all my friends, friends. As soon as we crossed and headed away, the dogs broke off. Off we went, no fight. And I swear to you, honest to God truth, Chowie never had another fight in for the rest of his life. And that includes with all the other unneutered male dogs that would run out into the trails. I'd just do the friends thing. And my attitude and the friends thing is what kept my dog from engaging. And he never had another fight. So you need to understand this. You need to check this with your dog. You need to know that you go to the dog park. What happens when dogs get in little skirmishes? Well, none of that is bad or wrong and all of that sort of thing. But when the humans start yelling at their dog and think it's a problem, that's what triggers a lot of the fights. So now we're not going to do it today because we're almost out of time. But the next thing we got to do is teach the jolly routines and then how you use that in these situations. But I want you to take away this to know that how your dog behaves in public, especially around other animals, people, or you know, challenging situations, has as much and sometimes more to do with your attitude and how you handle it as anything else. It makes a huge difference when I'm going out walking with people on private sessions. I'm usually dealing with very reactive dogs that see person or dog, you get close enough and they're barking and growling, going off like banshees. Well, what people do is like, oh, I don't want to do this. So I'm going to cross the street, go the other direction. But when I take over and come in, we change the whole attitude. So instead of saying, oh, geez, I'm scared. I don't want to have to deal with this. Let's avoid it. I'm saying, oh, boy, it's a dog. Let's go. And so I'm getting happy because we get to see it and we're going right to where the distraction and the dog is. And that alone makes a difference for the dog because we're setting the appropriate example about being glad to engage rather than being upset by it. All right. So does the friends exercise make sense to you guys?
That's neat. Yeah.
Now you can start using it right away, whether you've taught it or not, because the word friends has an energy of friendship attached to it. But if you want to teach it and program it with the licking thing, but it's a great exercise for everybody to teach their dog. Because what happens often, something's coming towards us. We go into that control mode. No, leave it. Stay close. You know, and instead of saying, oh, boy, it's a friend. Woohoo! It's a friend. Remember, you're the teacher and setting the appropriate example. So how you behave in these situations makes a big difference to your dog. So you're going to start on the friends stuff now. And that's going to be, you know, pretty much all we can, I think, do for today. Now, thinking about when we can pick this up again, Walter, and I didn't think about it or have time in the meantime to talk to you ahead of time. But the next 2 months, August and September, are, 4 Sunday months. So we don't have an extra Sunday. I'm wondering about, do you know your schedule for August and the third Sunday of August, the 21st? Do you know if you'd be available?
I think off the top of my head, yes, but I can, okay. I'll confirm that with you.
All right,
you.
So tentatively then, because I know Natasha has a somewhat of a conflict there, and so it'll probably work for her if we just do a teaching show instead of a Martha and Natasha show. So you check on August 21st, and tentatively that will be our next show. All right. So now this show, we are about done. We will re-air this show next week so you can listen again if you'd like. And then the first Sunday of August will be Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. I hope you'll join us for that. And then we've got Dr. Nels and Linda and neuroenergetic balancing, and that'll be time for another teaching show. And then, boy, we're really gonna, in that next show, I think We'll get started right away. We'll get through the rest of the general things that people need to know and teach. Then I think before we go back to our list of all the specifics we heard from people and their problems, we'll deal with Lance's situation. So I think we'll get through enough of the general stuff that we'll be able to start tackling the whole Lance thing then and now. So that should be good. All righty. So next week, we will do an encore presentation. But Walter, thank you so much for joining me.
And thank you for having me.
I hope that you take it easy on your elliptical and don't wear yourself out, but be gentle with yourself during the heat. And everybody else, leave your animals and your kids at home. No animals or kids in the car during the heat. And remember, if you get anybody's in trouble, your dog, wet their head first, the rest of the body second. All right. That's going to do it for today. You guys stay cool. And as always, and thank you, Walter. And
you're
Nathan,
welcome.
Thank you. And Stacy, thank you wherever you are. As always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart. Share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.